Alrighty. What's up? Hey. Okay. I didn't know if I was going to be able to make an episode this week. I was traveling through the weekend. I wasn't able to record with a guest again. I thought maybe I'd just skip it. I had a brunch that I had to do today, so I didn't know if I was going to do the TikTok live show, but I'm here. We're live on TikTok. We got people hanging out live on TikTok right now, and we're doing a quick one. I'm going to do a quick one, okay? So this won't be, but I think people like that. Quick and dirty. I thought I have a little bit of time. I'm going to go see that movie Zola. You know that movie Zola? I want to say it's called At Zola, because on the, you know, the way it's spelled is with the at symbol, and then it says Zola, but all the reviews and everything online, people are just calling it just Zola, which I'm kind of like, well, why didn't you just have it be called Zola then? Why add the at symbol if it's not going to be at Zola? But I guess it's just called Zola. So I'm going to see Zola in about an hour with some friends in Glendale. And I got to go get that. I got to go get out and see a movie because I love going to the theater. But I thought we'd do a really quick episode. It's funny that I'm just talking about life is normal. I'm just like, yeah, I had to go to brunch. I got to go to a movie, because that's kind of what I want to talk about, is just how life for most of us, I guess, in developed countries, we just kind of go about our regular day-to-day lives and just sort of, I go eat with people. I go socialize. I work. I make videos. I do TikTok. I make podcasts. I go shoot scenes in movies, and I'm just going about my business. And all the while, the fucking ocean's on fire. Like, what? The ocean, y'all. The ocean caught on fire, guys. And we watched a couple videos of it, and we made some memes about it, and we just went, yep. And we just kept going. Record heat along the west coast of the United States. Crazy record heat. In places like Seattle and Portland, like where it doesn't get very hot there normally, ever. And just record crazy heat. 110, 111, 112, 113. Just nuts numbers for weeks on end. And we see it. You see the stories. You see people talking about it. You see people making videos about it. And you go, oh, damn, crazy. And we got to keep going, because the engine of our lives and the engine of our modern society, like, it's just not built to slow down, and it just can't. We just live through, hey everyone on TikTok right now, hey everyone listening to the podcast right now, hey, the pandemic's not over. Did you know that? I think the people who listen to my show know that, but it's not over. We didn't make it. We got Delta variant out there being a motherfucker, and we got millions of unvaccinated people making sure that new variants will continue to crop up and will continue to fuck up our efforts to slow the spread of this ongoing global situation. It's just that it's been happening so long. Like, the pandemic was the first thing in years that's actually managed to, like, get us to slow down, that's actually managed to, like, sort of slow the gears of the world engine. And we were able to do it for, like, a couple solid weeks, sort of. And then we just went right back on with business as usual. Some people wearing masks and trying to social distance, you know, trying to go out a little less than we would normally be going out. But some of us just doing whatever the fuck we wanted. And boy, there's a lot of places in the world where I just got back from Utah, and they're just done. COVID never happened there. It doesn't exist there, even though they're probably less than 50% vaccinated in that state. They're gonna have a massive breakout of Delta variant. Like, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Because they're just done there. And then, you know, so, okay, that's another thing. And then over in New York, infrastructure, hundreds of year old infrastructure, just getting ripped to shreds right now by Hurricane Elsa. Just the New York subway system might not survive this hurricane. Like, there might be whole sections of it that need to be rebuilt, because it is just getting hit, just fucked up by this thing. And you see it, you see videos, you see memes, and you just go on. you just go on because you gotta go on. What can you do? Go over there with a bucket and a mop? I just heard like 2 days ago about this apartment building collapse in Florida, in the Miami area. That's how much news is going on. Like when the ocean's on fire and when there's record heat waves everywhere and when simultaneously a hurricane is ripping New York City to shreds, like the fact that an apartment building collapsed and killed over 100 people, or at least estimated. I think right now that the death toll is like at 80, but there's like over 100 people that haven't been accounted for yet. So it's probably a lot worse than 80. Somehow that story can like slip under the radar. I'm sure that there's some people listening to this podcast, at least one, who's like, what? The ocean's on fire? Who like didn't see that the ocean caught on fire. Because there's just so much stuff going on. It is, look, I know, I'm aware that every generation of humans that have ever existed have thought that the sky was falling and that they were the last generation that was ever going to exist. I know that every generation thinks that they are the one that's going to witness the apocalypse, but none of them had the evidence with like scientific data to back it up that we have. And so like, I get that. I'm repeating history and being like, oh, we're going to die. But for real though, the evidence is getting, kind of overwhelming, and the fact that we can gather global data the way that we can now is kind of overwhelming, and it's kind of hard to deny. So here's the point. Here's what I'm trying to talk about, and here's what I want to talk about with the TikTok audience here on this quick episode is what's it gonna take? This is the point of this conversation. What's it going to take to get some stuff going, to get some changes made? What's it going to take? There's a saying, I don't know who said it, but the saying goes, change only happens when the pain of staying where you are outweighs the pain of making moves, of making a change. How much pain do we need to feel as a species before we actually start making real changes? A buddy of mine told me a story today about this situation. I think it's in the Carolinas, like in South Carolina, with these like poor communities who can't breathe right now because European companies are taking all of their trees and burning wood for their energy over in Europe because they can't burn coal anymore because coal isn't clean. So they're taking trees from these communities and burning the wood over there to make it appear like they're being more green and clean. And this sort of is how we deal with climate things in today's society, is it's literally like the metaphor really is it. We don't know how to deal with it in a way that isn't sweeping it under the rug, literally. Like the corporations and the industries that are being tasked with going green and dealing with, you know, their carbon footprint, basically deal with it like a kid who's asked to clean his room, and the parent comes in to check out the room and they're like, did you clean your room? And they're like, yes, I did it. Look. And then the parent looks under the bed. They're like, no, you didn't. You shoved everything under your bed. And they're like, ugh, fine. God. And then they like take everything out from under the bed and they shove it all in the closet. And the parent's like, you just shoved it in the closet. And they're like, what do you, I don't know what to do. Where does it go? And they're like, put it back where it goes. Like hang things up, organize things. You're going to have to like take everything apart. You're going to have to actually grab all the crap that you just shoved into a corner. And you're going to actually have to go through it, figure out, maybe you have to throw some of it away. Maybe you have to get rid of some of it. And then like maybe figure out where things go. That's what you're going to have to do. But they're like, oh my God, it's so hard. I have stuff to do. And that's how we deal with crises, is we just move stuff around. We just shuffle it around. So what's it going to take, y'all? That's the question. That's the question. And that's the thing I'm ruminating on right now, is how much pain will be enough pain for us to make some serious corrective moves as a species? I've started thinking lately, and I'm so sorry to just ruin your Sunday, the TikTok people and you people listening to the podcast, whatever day it is for you. Sorry to be a big, huge, fat bummer right now. I promise next week we'll talk about something that isn't so depressing. But like, it's just hard to ignore right now, at least for me. And I've been thinking lately, like, maybe it doesn't all inevitably result in the death of the entire species. You know, maybe there is a path out of this for us, but like, what's the amount of pain that needs to happen before we get it? And we've just lived through a thing that killed about 5 million people worldwide, and that wasn't enough pain. It wasn't nearly enough pain. We've still got millions of people in this country in America, and across the world, I'm sure, who are willing to boil that number down to a percentage to make it sound more palatable. To be like, 99% of people survive the virus. It's like, oh, cool. Like, yeah, percentages, huh? Like, 5 million people, 5 million families that will never be the same because of this global pandemic. And that's not a number. That's not a big enough number for them. That's not a painful enough number for them. That's a manageable amount of pain. And the solution to that pain is so easy. I mean, it couldn't have been easier. It was like, wear a mask, socially distance, try not to go out, try to avoid going out in large groups and going to huge parties if you can. I'm sure you can. It'll be hard, but I'm sure you can do it. And then once we get the vaccine going, once we get one, we don't have one yet, but once we get it, everyone should take it as quickly as possible. And we will do everything we can to get it distributed as quickly and efficiently as possible. And if it is available in your area, please get it so that we can move past this thing and save lives. And people couldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. Would not budge. It was too much of an impasse on their personal freedom to do whatever the fuck they want to do. Just asking them to do just the simplest things to save lives, and they couldn't do it. So what's it going to take? What's the amount of pain that we need to feel? And part of me is thinking that what a potential scenario is, it needs to be like in the billions. Like, we need to have a catastrophic world event, probably climate related, most likely climate related, that results in the death of and displacement of billions of people. Like, it needs to be like almost one in every two people that you meet has been affected by this global catastrophic climate event before maybe as a species we'll start to get, oh my God, we need to change now. We need to massively, and we'll be able to, because our population will be so decreased and we'll be so beaten into submission by that level of pain that we will be able to accept the new terms and the new rules and the new ways of doing things. And maybe we'll be able to rebuild in a better, cleaner way. But like, the further we go into this shit, I'm starting to think, I don't know if there's any other way around it than something like that. Something that is that painful. Where like many of us might not survive. I might not survive. And many of the people that we love might not survive. I don't see how it happens outside of an event like that. Because it really feels like no amount of absurd news stories or pain is enough right now. The ocean was on fire and we kept scrolling. So let's go over to TikTok. Let's see what TikTok's saying. What's it going to take, TikTok? Kenegar Linaga says, it's not looking good. No, it's not. Beachbum 77777 says, Southeast has a COVID rate that is increasing very fast. So by fall, I think another lockdown is, and then it doesn't finish, probably like is imminent. Yeah. It's coming soon. Yeah. Yeah, most likely. It should probably already be happening. The fact that like we're sort of waiting on this inevitable next lockdown, like being like, well, it's probably going to happen, you know? And again, it's like it will need to get to like where the pain is enough. Like we'll have to start getting back up into like the hundreds of thousands of deaths again. And then we'll like we'll finally sort of begrudgingly accept maybe like another lockdown. But the next one's probably going to be even messier than the last one, because these motherfuckers are not, like, they've been let off the chain and they're not going back. Pat says, yo, bro, golfing with Papa Mike at Willow. Yeah, exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the world being on fire, the ocean being on fire, and Pat's golfing with my dad. And that's chill. I love it. I'm going to see a movie right after this. I'm not judging. I was golfing with my mom a couple weeks ago, you know? People doing what they got to do. People got to like get through life. You know, we're alive when we're alive. Brave Dave asks, would anything work? Even something that affects us all universally was rejected as a hoax. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is there an amount of pain that is large enough to get the point across? Because we got millions of conservatives in this country, in America, who live day to day in pain from poverty and from lack of decent healthcare, who still believe that it's tyranny to try to charge billionaires more in tax. That, like, having billionaires pay more in tax so that people can have healthcare and access to education is tyranny. Like, the pain that they're living in personally is not enough for them to want to advocate for their own good. So I don't know. This is good. Pezcore350 says, won't make a difference if the rich aren't affected on the same scale as the rest of us. Yeah. How do we make them feel it, though, is the thing. How do you make Jeff Bezos in his $150 million yacht? It's a cruise ship. He built and designed a cruise ship, a personal cruise ship that has a fleet of workers. I would bet there's at least 100 people whose job it is to just man Jeff Bezos' yacht. At least 100 people who work, who their job is, what do you do for work? Where do you work? Oh, I'm a chef. Yeah, where are you a chef? I'm a chef on Jeff Bezos' yacht. And I just stay there for whenever he's ready for me to be there. What the fuck? What do you do? I clean, like I'm a maid. Oh, what hotel? Not a hotel, just Jeff Bezos' yacht, just one guy's boat. I just live there and I clean the rooms there. Oh, okay. Really? Yeah. Do you like have a room there? Yeah, we have servants' quarters. They're very small, but like, yeah. Like, how do you get them to feel it? Brave Dave says, Dan Carlin speculated theory of we the people becoming lobbyists. How do we do that? First of all, I think lobbying should be outlawed. It's just legal bribery. I don't understand how it's even a thing. If politicians refuse to not be money grubbers, let's bribe them. Why would they say no? But how do we bribe them? With whose money? With all of our collective money? Do we like put money into like a collective fund and we just start going and bribing them to do good things? And are there people already doing that? I feel like there are special interest groups that are already trying to be lobbyists for like clean energy and for things that could stem the tide of climate. The thing is, it's so this whole comment about the rich need to feel it on the scale that we do. It's not that they're unaware of it either. Like Bill Gates' whole thing, at least superficially, at least aesthetically right now, Bill Gates' whole thing is like working on stemming the tide of climate change. It's his whole like MO. That's like what he's doing. He's aware on a level that most people aren't. Like he's more aware of it. He's actually got teams of people who are researching it for him. He's the most aware, and so are the others. So's Musk. So's Bezos. So's Zuckerberg. They're aware. And they're all superficially involved in the cause, but really they're also part of the people who are just shuffling stuff around, like the kid cleaning his room. Like they're working with people to sort of mask the problem. Rick Chick says, historically, the only way rich people have ever changed is through literal revolution. And yeah, I know a lot of people have that in the back of their heads right now, that after COVID and seeing just the intense way that wealth disparity truly affects us as a society, there's been a lot more talk about eating the rich and about revolting. And maybe it's that. Maybe somehow you have to be... I love this. Josiah Hearley says, what credentials do you have to be solving the world's problems? You are sharing your opinions. Yeah, I fucking am, Josiah. Welcome to my goddamn podcast. I'm literally just having a conversation, bud. Oh, man. Y'all, this... one thing about doing what I do and going on the internet and talking about politics and stuff is like, I just, oh man, I have to talk to so many idiots, you guys. I have to talk to so many stupid people. And that's part of the problem. Like, as we're talking about, like, how come we can't get any of these big problems solved? It's because so many of us are so stupid. So many of us are so stupid. Like, yeah, Josiah, I am not individually, personally equipped to tackle these problems. I'm not. And neither are you, and neither are any of us on this comment thread. But we're trying to have a we're trying to do whatever, just talk about it, just at least be like aware that there are problems that need to be solved and not just bury our heads in the sand. Like the amount of people that I talk to who are like Josiah, who like want, when I actually get into conversations with them, they can't spell, guys. They can't spell. They never know how to spell your, or there, or there, or our and are. It's crazy. They are so massively uneducated on such a large scale. And it's like so reliable too. It's like they're so reliably uneducated. It is so rare that I have a conversation with one of these people online that actually reads like an intelligent conversation back and forth. It, like, the disparity in intellect is so glaring and it's so depressing. And it is a major glaring reason why we have the issues that we have. Because Josiah, you and I, my friend, are on the same team. We're not the billionaires. None of us are. None of us in this comment thread are the billionaires. We're supposed to be figuring out how to make those people, the people who actually can solve these problems, get on our team. That's what we're all supposed to be doing together. But because there's too many stupid people out there fucking it up for everyone, we can't get together. We can't get together. We can't organize a cohesive revolution. It would be great if we could have a peaceful revolution, a revolution of the people, where we come together as the people and say, hey, the vast majority of us are fed up with this stuff. We need you guys to change it yesterday. We need it now. But we can't do that because a massive subsection of the elite are banking on our stupidity. They love the fact that we are willing to throw our hands up in the air and go, hey, this is beyond my pay grade. I don't know about these things. And I'm sure other people do. And they love the fact that we will just take things on their word. They love the fact that we'll just like listen to Tucker Carlson say whatever the fuck he wants and just go like, sounds good to me. They love it. Dude. Alien Country Movie says, I'm starting with The Man in the Mirror. What's up, Alien Country Movie? That's a movie that I'm in, you guys. What's up? Yeah, absolutely. It's got to start, obviously, it has to be an individual process as well as a collective process. You can't fix an external problem if you've got the exact same problem internally. Everything that I want to do better in my life, relationships and showing up for commitments and all of these things that I want to do better in my personal life start internally. So maybe that is a grander solution, is that like every individual person needs to get more spiritually healthy. And the natural byproduct of being more spiritually and emotionally healthy is that you will have your eyes open to some of these bigger problems and you'll want to be tackling them. I don't know, but God, how do you make people do that? How do you make people care? And again, I go back to pain, that what makes people change on an individual level, what made me change, what made me need to get sober and stop drinking and start tackling all of the issues that were going on internally with me, is that the pain of staying where I was outweighed the pain of tackling these changes that needed to be made. So what is that? What will that be in society? How does the pain get big enough for us as a collective? Uber Beth says, if only education weren't a money and class division too, right? Yeah. Access to affordable education. Imagine that. Like, what a fucking crock that is. This whole bullshit of giving armed servicemen and women free education. You know, you understand that I saw, so there's a popular TikTok going around, that everyone's stitching, and it's a guy who says, what is a conspiracy theory that you 100% believe is true? I'll go first, and then people stitch it, and they tell it their conspiracy theory that they believe in. And someone stitched it with, I've seen lots of them, and they're all actually really good, but one of them that I really liked was someone stitched it and said, the reason why we'll never have free education, free higher education, is because of the military. Because the only way that they're able to convince hundreds of thousands of young people to sign up for the death squad is if they offer them free education and a way into a better life. And if they were to offer free education to everyone, then they would lose their bargaining chip with all of these 18-year-old kids who they're lying to and usurping into, or whatever, tricking into joining the military. And I 100% buy that. Because what else are they going to trick kids with if suddenly education is free? And God, Republicans, someone in here was saying, like, it isn't free. You still have to pay for it. Like, yeah, we know, guys. I saw another TikTok the other day that, like, it just made, I giggled, but I also wanted to, like, throw my phone because I was like, it is that stupid. And it was a person who said, the reason we don't have free healthcare is because we are having a hard time convincing conservatives that paying $2,000 more in taxes every year is less than paying $8,000 in health insurance every year. It is literally trying to convince people that two is less than eight. And I was like, it is that stupid. It is that fucking stupid that we're like, yeah, we know we're going to have to pay for it in taxes, but we will be paying less in taxes than we already are paying in what in student loans and fucking crazy insurance rates and insurance plans. So yeah, charge my ass a little bit more in taxes if it means free school and free healthcare. Please, by all fucking means, charge me a little bit more in taxes. And while we're at it, let's get rid of loopholes for billionaires and multimillionaires and ultra wealthy. Let's get rid of every goddamn loophole that exists. You know how fucking insane it is to hear millionaires and billionaires complain about the tax rate? You know, that's an acceptable complaint to hear from someone. It's insane. I was talking about this with a friend recently who's doing a lot better. He had a really great financial year, and he goes, honestly, you'll understand it once you start making more money. It is hard to part with like half of your earnings for the year. And I was like, yeah, but how much did you make last year? And he was like, dude, I made like over $500,000. And I was like, holy shit. It's like, so you're worried about getting taxed at the rate where you would have to pay $250,000. He's like, yeah, that fucking sucks. That means that half the money I made is gone. And I was like, bro, listen to what you're saying. You're saying that you just made $250,000. Do you know how many people live on $25,000 a year? What the fuck are you talking about? Like, making money distorts people's brains. Suddenly they lose all concept of like social responsibility and of gratitude and humility. I'm talking about a lot of potential solutions here. Obviously, these things aren't going to just happen magically because we're dealing with what we're dealing with. I can't see another solution other than pain. Oh, this is the worst. User 915054. Of course, you have some fucking username that you don't have a screen name and no fucking profile picture. Says, this sounds more out of envy than anything else. Don't like where you're at? Do something about it. Fuck off. Literally, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. What a garbage ass take. That everyone in the world could be Jeff Bezos if they just wanted it bad enough. Why aren't you then, user 91504? Why do you have 2 followers on social media? Why don't you have any friends? Are you just happy where you're at? Why don't you have any money? Why aren't you a millionaire? Are you? Why aren't you a multimillionaire? Just not working hard enough, pal? Jesus Christ, we're operating with so many idiots. Like, this is what we're up against, folks. Idiots, morons, a person who themselves is not wealthy, who themselves is being marginalized and subjugated and living in a world that is being oppressed by this current hierarchical capitalistic framework, and goes, well, if you don't like it, just work harder. Oh my God. As if every person in the world, if they wanted, could have a $150 million yacht. As if that's a feasible goal for 7.5 billion people. Jesus Christ. Like, you understand that it's less than 1% of people, that it's so much less than 1% of people who have access to that, who will ever have access to something like that? And you're talking about envy. I'm talking about the reality that everyone lives in, that functionally everyone lives in. Because the amount of people who don't live in this reality are such a small percentage of us that they functionally don't even matter. Functionally, all of us live in a reality where we're only going to be able to do so good financially. Okay? Jesus Christ, these people. Ugh. Oh, man. Yeah, bouldering bricks is giving me an admonition here. Lead with heart. Lead with heart. Stay on point. Speak on solutions and how they will feel. Yeah, yeah. That's probably the most heated I've ever gotten on this podcast. Anyone who's listened to this podcast for a long time, you probably never heard me get that heated. Yeah, and then here he is again. See how easy it is to get triggered? Here's your flaw and why you're where are you at? And why you're where you are at. Is this Jeff Bezos? Are you Jeff Bezos, user 915054732-3508? Bezos, is that you? Is that... Jeff Bezos just in here like, just work harder. Otherwise, you wouldn't be where you're at. Yeah. This is the most heated I've ever got. And I knew it. I knew it was going to be when I started it. I was like... Yeah, you know what? I'm going to do a quick episode because I've got this thought rattling around in my head here today. And the thought is, what's it going to take? What's it going to take to get through to these people? What's it going to take? How many times do they need to see a police officer murder someone on camera before they even dare to have the thought, maybe there's something wrong with the police? How many times do they need to see that? And watch other police officers defend that person before they think maybe the whole thing is just kind of fucked up and we need to like seriously take a look at it. What's it gonna take? How much pain? My God. I can't believe that we are that privileged that Jeff Bezos showed up on this thread today, you guys. It's crazy. We're just sitting here talking about the Ultra Witch and Jeffrey the Bee. Jeff Bezos rolls up in this thread talking about work harder and you can have a yacht like me. Holy shit, y'all. We're lucky. Like, listen, man, I've got a good life. I like where I'm at. I've got enough. I'm taken care of. I'm worried about other people, bud. I'm worried about people who aren't me. I know that's a weird concept for you. I know that that's a wild thing, but I'm actually doing okay. And it's actually like, I feel ethically and morally confused about doing as well as I'm doing while the ocean's on fire. And while the infrastructure in New York is collapsing, and while record heat is blasting across the West Coast, and people like you have their head buried in the sand, while the Delta variant is on a rampage and is about to do another shutdown, I'm actually doing pretty well. I'm actually personally kind of thriving. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm not sure if I deserve to be doing well while there's so much shit going on. But like I said, people are going about their lives. And what I've got, what I do, I make content. I make a podcast. I make videos. You know, I try to start conversations. I try to see if I can like crack through the rock hard thick shell around some people's brains. See if I can worm my way in there. I got Matt Walsh to agree that my song was catchy, you know? He agreed that he liked the tune. I'm trying to see if I can worm my way in there. It's hard, you know?
What a concept, huh? Other people. Caring about other people. Not just being concerned about me and getting mine. I'm doing fine, man. It's like the fact that it doesn't even occur to these people. If you don't like where you're at, just work harder. It doesn't even occur to them that, like, no, I'm not just talking about me. I'm doing okay. I've got enough. My feeling on how things are going with society and with the planet and with the world extend beyond whether or not I've got food to eat and whether or not I'm personally reasonably comfortable on a moment-to-moment basis. It says so much that just that basic concept is foreign to these people. The basic idea of, like, no, I'm more or less taken care of. I might not be okay if I get, like, super sick or if I, you know, need some serious medical intervention for something that's going to cost, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, that, I might not be okay with that because I'm not in a financial position to deal with that. But for my day-to-day life right now, I'm doing okay. I'm concerned about other people. I know there are lots and lots and lots and lots of other people who aren't as lucky as I am. And also not just them, just animals, just the planet, just the existence of Earth, the place that we all live. And that's a bigger concept than whether or not I'm taken care of and I'm getting mine. Betty the Bread Knitter says, just keep elevating and advocating. I know sometimes, most days, that's all I feel capable of doing. Most of the time, that's, you know, and even that can be hard because elevating and advocating means, and especially publicly the way that I do it, means that I'm opening myself up to a whole horde of people who, boy, the brand of stupid that they bring with them is, it's soul crushing. And I do my best. I've been on a block party recently, y'all. Wildly authentic Karen, says, keep doing it, man. Keep it up. I've been on a block party. I've probably in the last 2 weeks since I posted that congratulations video. Congratulations. That was one of the stupidest things, that one. It's brought in a lot more followers. We've gained about 350,000 followers from that one video. But it's also brought in just exponential trolls. And I've probably blocked 500 to 600 people. No joke. That's a low estimate. I spend a good amount of my day blocking people. And I try as hard as I can to block people out and to not engage and to not respond with stuff that just looks hopeless and with people who just seem, too far gone. And then every once in a while, I try to engage, and it's so much, and it is taxing. And I've got a light load comparatively. There are creators out there like Modern Warrior and people who are dealing with it so much worse, so much worse. It's I don't know, and all we're doing is the bare minimum.
advocating, trying to start conversations, trying to, we're doing so little, so much not enough. It's not enough. This podcast, it's not enough. It's going to be heard by a few hundred people. It's not enough. A few hundred people who already agree with it. God, this is, I never do this. I never do this on this show. This is a space that is supposed to be uplifting and hopefully inspiring and thought-provoking. And I don't know. I'm just scratching my head just thinking, what's it going to take? How are we going to move forward? Yes. Wow. Wutha said they already have their minds made up, ready with a response before they hear what you say. I know. And that's a lot of times it's like, I'll like get into it with someone on Twitter or something. And I'll realize halfway through the conversation, like, this person's not even reading my responses. I keep having to repeat myself because they're not even reading what I said. That video that I made that was like every conversation I've ever had with a Trump supporter, the reason so many Trump supporters showed up in the comments of that video saying the exact things that I said in the video is because they didn't even listen to the video. They just like saw that it was a video being critical of Trump, and then they just like came to the comments to say their piece, but they came to the comments and said the exact things, almost word for word, that I had just said they would say in the video. If they had watched the video, they would have been like, oh, I can't say that because he said that I would say that. And if I say that, then I'm proving his video correct. But they just showed up. They just did it anyway. And I don't know if it's stupidity or if it's just literally that they're not approaching this from an open place. And mostly those people are the people that I would block. Well, anyway, that's it. I wish I could offer more hope and more of a solution-based discussion today. But there isn't a solution to these problems currently that exists, is the reality. There are a lot of hypothetical solutions. There are a lot of potential solutions. There are a lot of good ideas being thrown around and good ideas being discussed and possibilities and routes forward that people, compassionate, empathetic people who want to see a future for this species and for this planet. There are a lot of people who are working actively hard, devoting their lives to trying to ensure a future for us. But currently, things are what they are. Currently, it's really easy to look around and feel like we're not doing enough quickly enough. And like the efforts that are being made are just too little too late. And I hate that it's that pessimistic, but it is. And I still live when I live. I live right now. I get to be alive right now, and I get to have experiences right now. So I'm going to stop this recording. I'm going to go watch a movie with my friends, and I'm just going to get some popcorn and just watch a movie for a couple hours, you know, and go back to my life. And I'm not judging anyone out there who listens to this or who's on the live, who as soon as this is over, you go and you got to go to a family barbecue, or you got to go to a birthday party, or you got to go to the store and just get that week's groceries. Like, you got to do what you got to do. And I get it. You know? Kiba just said, you can't do all the good the world needs, but the world needs all the good you can do. Let's end it on that one. That's about as bright as I think I'm going to be able to get it here. You can't do all the good the world needs, but the world needs all the good you can do. Thank you, Kiba, for bringing in a little bit of light here at the end. Woe Gilly says, enjoy the movie. Don't worry, I'll fix everything. Oh, thank God. Thank you, Gilly. I'm so glad you're on it. That's it. That's it, y'all. That's the episode this week. You can support this show, patreon.com/AustinArcher, if you're capable to, if that's something that you can do. There's links in my bios on all of my social media platforms to my Patreon. You can buy my music at AustinArcherMusic.bandcamp.com. It's another great way to support. Or you can just Venmo me. My Venmo's on all my links now. You can check that out. I would really, really appreciate it if you have the means and the time and if you care to. thanks for being here. Thanks for your comments and your questions. Even the trolls, like, thank you. You make it interesting. You give us a hell of a show. Thank you. I really, really genuinely appreciate it. My apologies for getting heated over here. I'm just trying to keep it real with y'all. Just trying to keep it 100 and let you know kind of where I'm at. Chris Bjorn mixes and masters all of my music and this show over at Marmalade Music. He's the best. Go to themarmalademusic.com. Let him know that you are a fan of his work on this show and that I sent you and that you want to do an audio project with him. And guess what? He's going to give you 20% off your first project. Go to themarmalademusic.com. Tell him I sent you, that you want to work with him. 20% off your first project. Bada bing, bada boom. Got to go do it. We love Chris and we love all of you. Thank you all so much for being here. Thanks, Sweet Mama J, for being here. Thanks, Sarah Smart, for being here. Thanks, It's Quell, for being here. Thanks, Kiba, for being here. Thanks, all you regulars. Thanks, all you new folks. We love you. If this is your first time at the live show, check out the podcast, People Pleaser with Austin Archer. We love it. You know, we love y'all. And I love y'all. And thank you so much for being here. Take care of each other. Try to stay cool out there. And meditate, you know, get right with what you need to get right with. And we'll talk to you later. Okay, bye-bye.